Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Debbie Sparks, Ed and Debbie Sparks, their daughter, November, she's in the Children's Hospital in Cincinnati. She's got chronic kidney disease, and she sends her love and appreciation for the prayers that we have, some of us have known about it, and she requests that we continue to pray for her. The subject this morning, and as soon as Frank asked me about doing this, this came to my mind, is the Christian's walk. That's what I titled, the Christian's walk. We have a life to live, a death to die, an eternity to spend. I want to talk about the life we have to live right now on this earth. I want to touch on some of these verses, but not all of them. You know, the Word of God tells us that Christ gave Himself for us, that He may purchase to Himself a peculiar people, zealous, desirous of good works. Don't be afraid of that word, good works. Good works done in Christ are genuinely good works. That's what they are. And you and I know, we've been taught well enough to know that we're not saved by them. We're not saved by them, we're saved by Christ. But where these are absent, you can be sure the Spirit of God is absent. And it starts here in Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Eternal love. Family love. We know what family love is, don't we? Let family love continue. We do not realize how much our love to God, our love to Christ, and our love to one another is constantly under attack. We don't realize how much that's under attack. Satan doesn't care if you believe doctrine. Hell is full of people that believe doctrine. The Pharisees believed in election. The Pharisees believed in particular redemption. They believed that the salvation was for the Jews only. They believed that. And Christ said to them, you're of your father, the devil. The devil. He doesn't care if you believe doctrine. But He doesn't want you to love Christ. You can't, I tell you what, there's not one person in hell that loves Jesus Christ. Not one. Full of people believe doctrine, but not one that loves Christ. If you and I love Christ, we will love the brethren. You can't help but love the brethren. Can't do it. And we must guard against anything. Boy, I see this as I get older. I didn't see this as clearly 20 years ago or 30 years ago or almost 40 years ago now, as I see it now. Guard against anything that comes between us and Christ and that comes between us as believers. As believers. The Lord said, Peter, do you love me? He didn't say, Peter, do you believe me? He said, do you love me? Love will bond us together, or the loss of it will separate us. It'll separate us. And here's something I wish I was more aware of, or I would be more aware of. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the warfare. That's the warfare. We need to realize that there is a greater battle continually, always going on that we can't see with these eyes of flesh. There's a greater battle going on. Can't see it with our eyes, not with these eyes of flesh. You get a rift going between somebody and back and forth, and you just think you guys are at odds. You don't realize the unseen things that's going on to break and destroy that love. That love. Satan's not going to break or destroy your belief in the doctrine of election. That ain't going to happen. But boy, I tell you what, if he can drive a wedge between our affections for one another, our affection for one another, our affection for Christ. If I'm his, Lord, if I'm yours, why am I thus? Why is this happening to me if I'm yours? That's where he wants to drive the wedge, is in our affections for Christ, our love for Christ, and our love for one another. And then he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I wrote out here after that, this first thought came to me. We are not a closed society. It's not a private club. Open our hearts and open our doors to all people, all races. Entertain them. Be hospitable. Be friendly. Show hospitality. Open your hearts to them. Open your hearts. I know a man, a young man, he claims that God has saved him. I told him plainly, no, he hasn't. And he's one of the most prejudiced people I've ever been around. And I told you can't be that way. You can't have the love of God shed abroad in your heart and be that prejudiced. That's just not so. Open your hearts up to people that's different than you. Right? And he said here, some have entertained angels unaware. Do you believe that still happens? Do you believe that still happens? Do you believe that angels still exist? Why, of course you do. Of course you do. If God would open our eyes this morning, it would shock us. I honestly believe it would shock the life out of us how many angels are in this room. There's a greater audience unseen this morning around this service than ones we can see. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. But show hospitality. Don't be cliquish or clannish. Well, we wouldn't be that way, would we? You just wait till we have another dinner. And see, now listen. Don't get mad, but listen to me. You see, if we all don't sit basically with the same people all the time. I went to a dinner. This has been a few years ago. We were invited. And there's my nameplate sitting on the table. I thought, well, I know where I'm going to sit. And then I found out the purpose of that was so that we would not sit with the same people we sit with all the time. That we would actually sit with somebody else and say hello. Try it sometimes. Try it the next time. I'm telling you, we do things so automatically we don't even realize it. Don't even realize. And remember this, at one time we were strangers and aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. At one time I walked into 13th Street and heard him on the television. I walked in there a stranger. Nobody knew me and I didn't know anybody. But I was welcome. I was welcome. Now look, here I stand. Preaching the gospel. Almost 40 years later. And then remember, it says here in verse 3, remember them that are in bonds. Listen, don't just as bound with them. Don't just say, I feel sorry for them. He said, really enter in and bound with them. And then would suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. Sooner or later, it's going to come around to my time. All I got to do is just live long enough. Sooner or later, my turn's coming. It's like that wheel in Ezekiel. You read in Ezekiel, that wheel just turned and went over the earth. I see that as the providence of God. Sometimes you're on the top, sometimes you're on the bottom. It's going to come around. Sooner or later, it'll come around. The trial will come around. One day it's a fine day, sunshine. The next day, your heart is shattered. And he says, don't close yourself off to that. Now, I do know this. I know that we naturally want to get away from trouble, don't we? We naturally want to get away from suffering. We naturally don't want to expose ourselves to it, open ourselves up. We just naturally don't want to do that. This flesh never wants to do what we ought to do spiritually. It never wants to do that. You always find that fight and that struggle going on. That's why he wrote these things. That's why these things were written for us. Remember the saints that are in trouble. We have a tendency, because of sin, to stay away. Just remember, Debbie. Remember. It says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. It's of God. It's of God. It represents Christ and His church. Guard it with your life. Guard your affections. We don't realize how easy our affections get wrapped up by something. Guard your affections for one another. I'm so glad that the Lord does not ever feel toward me like every now and then I have felt cold and indifferent. He just, okay, whatever, walk, whatever, I'm gone. I got to go. See you later. You know how we get in this flesh. It's just so full of sin. So full of sin. I told Vicki last night, I said, I don't think we've ever scratched the surface of how a marriage is to be in this life if you really represent it between Christ and the church. I don't think we've scratched the surface. And then he says, and let your conversation be without covetousness. Man, we live in a country where it's so... There's probably no more idolatrous country on this earth than America. And when I say that, don't just think of religion. Covetousness, it says, is idolatry. Covetousness is greatly desiring that which you don't have. Constantly going after. Giving your life out to getting it. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As I was reading these, as I said, this just means so much more to me now. I see so much more of it. I see the necessity of it more now than ever. But let your character be without covetousness. Don't let that define you. I know a person that every time his name comes up, they start talking about what he spends and what he has and his toys and all this. I mean, that defines him. That's how he's defined. Our character should be defined by our union to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it ought to be defined. When we hear of Spurgeon, we automatically think of someone who was a great preacher of the gospel, don't we? Enoch. What's the first thing when you hear of Enoch? What's the first thing that comes to mind? He walked with God. Let that define our character. Let that be the definition. When my name comes up, let the definition of my name be, he believed God. He believed God. He preached the gospel. It ought to be our connection to Christ. Our connection to Christ. Be content with such things as you have. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have it all. Is Christ that real to us yet? Is Jesus Christ that real to me? Right now. That if I have Him, I have everything I need. Give it all to Ziba. Is that what Mephibosheth said? Give it all to Ziba. I have the King. I have the King. I heard this on the radio the other day coming home from work. We're the richest country on earth. Aren't we? Are we not the richest country on earth? One out of every five people are on some kind of psychiatric drug. Depression medication has gone up 300% in 20 years. I do believe this. I believe that Christ is all and all. And I find my real contentment in Him. I believe a lot of this will go away. One psychiatrist said, I heard him on the radio, he said, if you could just get rid of the guilt, he said, I can get rid of about all my patients. If you could just get rid of guilt. I can tell you the only way to get rid of guilt, the only way to quiet an accusing conscience is the blood of Christ, wiping it away. Covetousness, the Word of God says, is idolatry. It is worship. It's worshiping that which you're after. I'll show you this in the next message. And here's the reason why. So that we may boldly say, not say with, well, maybe, you know, with a doubt. But we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord's my helper. That we may give Jesus Christ the glory for all our care. Who's caring for you? Who's caring for you? Who's providing? Who is really providing for you? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let Him just withhold the rain. Let Him just withhold the rain for a while. And watch everything dry. Remember Abraham? And Lot. Remember when Lot went down to Sodom? And then Sodom came under attack and Lot and all of them there in Sodom were captured? Abraham got his men together, went down and delivered Lot. He got him, brought him back. And the king was going to give Abraham all the spoils. What would I have done? He was going to give Abraham all the spoils from that battle because he came down and saved him. Abraham said, no. Lest you say you have made Abraham rich. No, you keep. I'm okay. When there was an argument between Lot's men and Abraham's men, Abraham said to Lot, we be brethren. We're not going to fight. He says, you look and you choose. You choose whatever you want. Go wherever you want to go. And I'll take what's left. And I'll take what's left. And you know the story. Lot did. He looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan. He probably looked the Psalms and looked over here like he didn't see them. And looking around, you know, and all the time that got his eye. It got him. It got him. And he just said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just go this way. And you know what happened after he left? God said, Abraham, lift up your eyes. All of this is yours. I'm going to give it to you a seed. It's all yours. So that we may boldly say and not complain that we don't have enough, we don't have this, we don't have that. We have, you know, I've learned this. I don't do it. I don't think we do have to. We don't do hardly nearly anything to learn. I've learned that I really don't have anything to complain about, though I do. Do we not say, do we not believe that all things are of God? Do we not believe that? Does not the Word of God say that all things are of God? I have nothing to complain of. Nothing to complain of. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Remember them. Remember them in prayer. Remember to take care of them. Don't neglect them. God could remove the candlestick. He could, you know. He went over in the book of Revelation, those churches. He says, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to remove the candlestick. He can remove the candlestick. Which in that place is called an angel. Angels in the churches. Entertain angels unaware. You may entertain an angel unaware like Abraham did. You may entertain an angel of God, a minister of God. That's not a minister yet. But one day he will be. You say, I remember when he stayed in my home. I couldn't tell you the homes I've stayed in over the years, people I did not know. And now I know. And they've opened their homes up to me. Took care of me, treated me like I was a king. I remember one time we went to Alabama. When Carter and Joyce was down there. We stayed with his. Was that Henry Green, love? Was that him? We stayed with him and his wife. Got up for breakfast the next morning. You would think we was at Bob Evans. I mean, it was a buffet. I was just 20-some years old. I wasn't worth a biscuit. And it was a buffet. And I preached the gospel since. I'm not calling myself an angel now. But you get it. You get the point. And be not, listen now, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. I think it was the Athenians. They just lived to hear something new. Tell me something new this morning. You know, listen. Would you hear this? No, he says, don't be carried away with it. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, the grace of God, true grace, grace of the gospel. Be settled in your hearts over the gospel. There's only one. And never give in to opinions. We ought to learn to do this. When opinions get started instead of the Word of God, let's just stop the conversation. You know, go talk about a ball game or something. But just stop the conversation when the Word of God takes a back seat. I've learned over the years that now when I talk to someone, we start talking about the gospel. Once it leaves the Word of God, I just forget about it. Let's go do something else. If you're going to just stand there and throw out your opinion, my opinion, I told a man here not too long ago, I said, it doesn't matter what you believe. I said, what does this say? Now, if we believe what it says, that's the difference. We'll talk about what I believe and you believe, because I had a man ask me the other day, what do you believe? Who do you believe? With the believer, it becomes a who. With false religion, it becomes a what. And don't be carried away. It's for its good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, not with ceremonies and rituals. Don't try to look religious and spooky and like God's here and God is in that. He's not. Not with ceremonies and rituals, which had not profited them, which had been occupied there. It didn't profit them as old Jews did it. As old Pharisees and all those rituals and all those ceremonies. God said, you're smoke in my nose. And by Him, by Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, starting this morning. Oh, that God would enable us to genuinely praise Him. I mean to sing praises unto Him. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Thanks to Him, praising Him. I thought of this morning. I thought there are people right now in hell. And I'm not. I'm not. Here we sit, the Word of God open. Do we have something to praise Him about this morning? Even if you've never confessed Christ, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. But to do good and communicate, forget not. That's verse 16. I haven't been giving you the verses. Don't forget to do that. It's so easy to let things slip. It's easy to let things go. It's easy to turn away from somebody in need or communicate to help. With God, for with such sacrifices, God's well pleased. And obey them that have the rule over you, verse 17. You see, first in verse 7, he said, remember them. Take care of them. Now he says, obey them. If God has sent you a true pastor, a true preacher of the gospel, he says, follow him. Follow him. Someone said to me one time, you follow mayhem. I said, and? What's your point? What's your point? Yes. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Didn't he say that? Follow Christ. They watch for your souls as they that must give account. They may do it with joy and not with grief. That's unprofitable for you. Obey them, take care of them. Listen to them. But it also means this. Obey them which have the rule over you. Children. We don't have no children here right now, but children, obey your parents. It means that to all of us, obey civil magistrates. Obey the laws out there. That's what it means. It includes them too. And pray for us. Pray for us. That's what Debbie said, pray for us. How important is that? How important? That for me and you, and there's no greater way to show brotherly love than to genuinely take them before the throne of grace and to pray. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's very little I can do to relieve suffering or especially heartaches heartaches. I've learned some things about some of you people that I didn't know. I was telling Frank this the other day. I was talking to him. I said, what you realize when you're standing there pastoring or standing there preaching is that it's the people, there are so many people that have gone through such great trials and heartaches that you don't even know about. You come in here dressed up fine, talking to each other. Boy, some of you got deep scars. You've been tried to. Pray for us. Pray for us. You didn't say send your offering. Send us an offering. Show us your sincerity by sending us an offering. An actual offering. Just pray for us. See, I said I can't do. There's not much I can do, but I tell you what, I know one who can. Lord, he whom thou lovest, he said. Mary went to Martha, went to the Lord, Lazarus said. They couldn't give him his health back. They couldn't raise him up, but they knew one who could. And they said, Lord, he whom thou lovest. They didn't say, Lord, you know he believes the doctrine of election. You know that, don't you? You know he believed particular redemption. You know that. No, they said, Lord, the one you love, let brotherly love continue. He said, pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Live honestly. How important is prayer, a good conscience, and an honest life? Isn't that a combination? These things ought always, always to be attended to. Give them great attention. Always. All right.